everyone. Welcome to Pass Your Bedtime. I'm Andrea Belke.
And I'm Caitlin Cook.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
How's it going, Caitlin?
Good. I feel so good today. How are you?
I'm good. I can't believe it's almost Christmas.
It's almost
Christmas.
Now that
we're between Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's so insane to me.
I know.
Yeah.
I watched my first Christmas movie last night. I watched Christmas Vacation, and well, I've watched The Grinch here and there because it's my favorite movie, but I watched it and I was sitting there like, wow, it's actually appropriate to watch this finally.
I'm really not that into Christmas movies.
Are you fucking kidding?
I'm not kidding.
I've never met someone that has said that to me.
Let's bring our guest and get her opinion on Christmas movies. I'm super excited to be joined by this total babe. It's Sarah Talik.
Yes.
I said it right too, right?
I know. You remember the joke.
Yeah, fill everyone in on the joke that you told us.
It's like, it's kind of a funny name, so I'm not really fussy when people don't say my name. Right, but to help people remember, for like, you know how some people care, they really want to get the name right. So I'm like, well, what happens when a pipe gets a crack in it? It starts to leak. That's the name. I wrote it out.
Also, I love that you choose a pipe and you don't say like, you know, a vase or like it's so specific. A pipe.
How often are vases leaking?
Yeah, I don't know. You put water in them,
or like peeing, I guess. Like if you take a leak, but then you wouldn't be to leak.
Yeah. What do you have to do after you pee?
So like, I'm kind of seeing a comedian at the moment, and I told him the joke when we first met, and he kind of totally ripped to shred my joke. He's like, "That joke's not structured right. It's not like," and I was like, "Oh, okay, well." So it obviously needs to be worked.
No, listen. I think it's amazing. I love how specific it is, but also I'm kind of annoyed that he ripped your joke apart because I enjoy it.
He's allowed because he's a comedian, so I feel like he has qualifications. So
oh my God,
I let it slide.
I have so many questions already.
I know.
But now I feel like we have to go back to Christmas
to
movies
Grinch.
For a second.
Yes, of course.
Are you a fan of Christmas movies now that it's sitting closer?
Christmas. Although we have hot Christmases, which is weird.
Yeah, that is weird. So you're from, tell everyone where you're from.
Well, I'm from Australia. I don't know if you could tell by the accent.
Amazing.
And I'm actually going back for Christmas, so I'm looking forward
to
it. But I'm enjoying all the kind of frosty... Like
do you guys decorate the same back home that we do?
Yeah, we just don't have that kind of cozy. It's not warm. It's not like scarves and jumpers. It's kind of like, you know, beach. It's still all the fairy lights and all that, but it's beaches and
you're not bundled up with wind and snow and
New York weather sucks for Christmas, but it is beautiful here. So
it gets you in
that.
The spirit, so I think.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this will be your first time in New York and you just moved here, right?
Yes. Well, I came as like a kid, like you know when you travel with your family and you're here for a week and you just hit all the tourist spots and it doesn't really count. So I did that when I was like I think 13 or 12 or 13, but this is the first time I'm actually living here. So I feel like I'm really getting a good sense of the city. And oh my God, I love it.
What
you guys live
you
here, don't you?
Yeah. But what brought, were you just wanting to move or was it work? Or?
Just work. Yeah. So modeling takes me kind of everywhere and I just face myself in a city for a little bit. And then I kind of love it and leave it, which kind of sucks. But I'm thinking I will come back next year because it's just too good. Like I've been here 3 months. It's just nowhere near.
There's so much work here.
Oh,
too.
So you don't. Yeah. Are you permanently here or you just came for a couple months? Okay.
Oh, well, so it's kind of like, that's the thing. Like when people ask if I've moved to New York, I'm like, it's hard to really say because like I kind of have moved, like all my stuff's here, but like I'm a bit of a nomad anyway. So I don't know. Like I will be going back, but I think it's kind of all up in the air 2019.
Where else have you lived for modeling?
So I've lived in London, Germany, and then I've lived in Sydney and Melbourne as well.
That's so cool.
And you've been doing that since you were 16. How old are you now?
Yeah, so I'm 23 now.
You're such a baby.
I know.
I mean, not in a way, you don't look older, but you seem older because you've done so much.
Yeah.
You are a model. You were on Australian Survivor and the show The Face.
Yes, yeah, I know.
What is The Face?
And you're only 23.
The Face is like, I always explain it like The Face is like The Voice, except... the face, but not in the way where they can't see you at the start because it's kind of crucial to know what you look like if you're going to go into modeling. But there's basically kind of three mentors who are supermodels and they have a team of, I think, four and you all compete. Oh, it's just
really
like The Face.
Neat.
Yeah. I'm in The Voice.
Yes. Okay. You're in New York. We always start with what's on your mind.
Yeah.
So even though I feel like we've like touched a couple things that we really have to delve deeper into, but right now, Sarah, what's on your mind?
Well, okay. So I was actually... It does tie into Christmas, so it works. But I was looking at, I went to go see the Rockefeller Christmas tree light opening yesterday, and it was gorgeous and beautiful and like, you know, it's beautiful. It's like an iconic Christmas moment. But the thing is, the foot traffic makes
I was just going
to
ask you how horrible was that?
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, I don't know how that's not widely talked about. It's still like an iconic Christmas thing and no one like I ended up watching the Christmas tree light, like turning it on from like a half a block away. Like it was not, it was on like a screen. I watched it, but like So I was there, but I wasn't really there. And I was kind of like, it's always the way in New York with these like Thanksgiving parades, and it's kind of just gridlocked.
But it's just, you know, I was somewhere yesterday and I was talking to someone about the train, and they said, you know, I am probably going to be like 2 hours late because of the train. Like, even if you prepare, because you can't really prepare for things like that. Like, I wasn't here for the parade because I was in Ohio, but the Thanksgiving, the Christmas, everything that we do here.
Yeah.
I think you kind of learn that with time, though. Like, you kind of learn to steer clear of that. Like, I would never go to the tree lighting.
Oh my God.
It's beautiful, but I would never actually go to it.
Never again.
No.
Don't go.
It's like the midnight. It's like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
It's,
oh, yeah. I was going to say New Year's
Eve. Midnight. So what the hell? Why couldn't I think of the freaking
holiday? Because at midnight.
It's the midnight ball.
There should be a midnight ball. Well, I work New Year's Eve, so it kind of reminds me of that. Mm-hmm. Is everyone thinks that they should go to Times Square for New Year's Eve. It's going to be magical.
Iconic.
Don't do it.
No.
I honestly, because I work there every year, because I host. And so I'm right down the middle. I have passes. I don't have to be in any crowds.
Oh my God,
but
lucky.
Don't go to Times Square.
Do people really pee in diapers, you think?
They absolutely.
They have to, right?
Yeah, they have to. Or, well, guys can always pee in a water bottle.
Lucky them.
I was recently waiting in line for a haunted house. A couple weeks ago, a month ago. How long ago was Halloween?
It all blends together.
God. How long ago was Halloween?
I don't know. A month ago.
Okay, a month ago.
It's fine. It's almost the 31st. Yeah, a month.
And we were waiting for 2 hours for this haunted house, and I found out later that one of the guys we were with peed in a water bottle, and I didn't even know.
I was talking to him the whole time.
What?
People didn't see his thing pecking
out?
No,
because he had a jacket.
Coats.
So he was able to
must be nice.
Hide it. I know.
To mischief under those coats. There's like so many layers as well. New York is just so far from like everything to do with like where I'm from in Australia, which is Perth. It's like warm weather and very low key. It just could not be more opposite right now.
Well, and you couldn't hide that. If somebody had to pee, they would just pee on the beach. Like,
they'd just go
in
the water.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Is there anything else that you learned right away from moving here that you weren't expecting?
Do you know what? I actually remember the first, well, I kind of arrived here at night, but the first kind of day where I was up and about during the day, I was walking around and I was being like, oh, excuse me, sorry, pardon me, and like being really polite. But then I was like, I noticed everyone really owned their own space here. Like people like, and it's hard to explain, but like people would like be really weighty when they stood, and like, it's like they owned their kind of like presence in that moment. And I was like, I need to bloody take on a bit of that. And I actually have, like, so I also have started a cafe job and like just all these things, and I'm super good at being assertive now in not a bad way, but it's just,
you have to
funny.
Be though.
Yeah, you learn to back yourself here, which I actually really find very cool.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot, but what was the first thing for you, Caitlin, that you noticed when you moved here that you weren't expecting? For me, I would say it was the catcalling. And
oh,
this
my
was
God. Yes.
7 years ago when, yes. And I was also in Astoria, which isn't, I mean, you're living in like Chelsea or Midtown area.
Kind of bouncing around, but Chelsea now.
You're kind of in like a pretty safe area.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
But when I was living in Astoria, just like out in the middle of nowhere, there was, the catcalling was out of control. And you feel kind of in danger because guys follow you depending on where you live in the city.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first things I noticed.
That's really super scary because I absolutely noticed that as well. And even at parties, so the drinking culture is a bit interesting over here where so like in Australia, guys don't really buy girls drinks, which is like, I don't know, like there's an argument about that not being chivalrous or whatever. But I'm not used to guys paying for my drinks. But then I was going out, and so they pay for my drinks, which is great. But I can 100% feel that there's an undertone of they're trying to get me drunk.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Or I bought you a drink, so now you have to talk to me.
Totally. Yeah, well, yeah, there's all of that over here. Yeah.
I know girls. I've heard girls say this, that when they go out and the guy buys them an expensive dinner and drinks and the whole night, they feel indebted to him.
Yeah.
Like they have to sleep with him.
Yeah.
And I had this talk with a coworker one time. I was like, you don't have to.
No,
you don't owe him anything.
Yeah.
Because she felt like she had to, even though she didn't even want to.
But the meaning of it's all shifted now, which is the super messed up thing, which is kind of like why it's nice in Australia where, I mean, it's not nice because it's nice getting the attention here. Because, you know, it's just
well,
who
course.
Doesn't like that?
We're like three girls in the entertainment business.
Yeah, we're like, of course, I hate attention. It's nice to feel wanted.
Yeah. But yeah, it's kind of good that in Australia, that's just all off the table. Everything's 50-50. It's kind of annoying because like guys don't take you out and wine and dine you. But at the same time, we split it down to the dollar in Australia. Yeah. We're like, well, I ordered this and then you ordered that. And it should, but it's just how it is.
Which so is fine. Register. I don't think that
but
that's...
But I actually don't know. Is pay pretty equal?
Our minimum wage is pretty high.
With
crazy...
women and men, it's pretty equal. There isn't an issue of gender equality. Well, that's good. Nice.
Yeah, that's my thing.
So obviously there's this big push for equal pay for women and men and everyone.
Yeah.
But my thing is there's still so many women that expect guys to pay. But if we're declaring that we want to be paid as much as a man,
you want to be independent.
You want to be independent. So, but also it's so nice when a guy treats you and you feel, it feels nice and like old fashioned and like he's, I don't know.
It's
you're getting
the
treated
experience.
Because there's nothing worse than at the end of a really lovely date where he took you out. All of a sudden, it's like, all right,
here's
but you owe two more pennies than me, and then I don't know. But what do you guys think of that? If we're demanding equal pay, I do think that we probably should be paying for half.
Well, I mean, I think generally as a rule that's true, but I also think. In terms of like a first date thing, I think that's, it's ritualistic anyway. Like there's already things that you have to kind of, there's already kind of rules set in place when you're on a first date. And I think if a guy has asked you out, I think that's part of the ritual of the whole wining and dining, as opposed to like, it shouldn't be about who can afford it more. It's like, if I asked a guy out on a date, I'd 100% be shouting the drinks and all that. But I think it's just part of the, I think it's more of the ritual rather than the like monetary side of, the dating.
It's the gesture, I think.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think so.
My boyfriend, we went to dinner in Vegas with two of his friends, like another couple, and he paid for everything. And it was not, I'm sure, cheap.
Yeah.
But when we talked about it after, he said, well, I invited them to dinner. So I'm the one that pays.
Yeah.
And so, and it's not about man versus woman because it was a couple versus a couple.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I always try to pay. I mean, you know.
But there's some guys that just won't let you.
Oh, there's some guys that won't let you.
I mean, when I was dating Kyle, which by the way, I hate to say this, but we ended things.
I'm really
I really don't want to get too much into it than just saying, because he's a wonderful, wonderful guy.
Yeah.
But just saying that we really were trying so hard. We're just very different. And he is a wonderful, amazing man.
Yeah.
And he's
going to
find someone that's a better fit.
Yeah.
I feel really sad about it. But I don't know. It's weird, though, you know, because you have a podcast too, Sarah.
Yes, we do,
It's weird. It's so easy to talk about guys that you're going on random dates with because they don't really matter that much.
You're
changing the name and no one's ever going to find out who they are.
Yeah.
But when it's someone that you actually really care about. So I was dating this guy for actually about 4 months.
Yeah.
Then it's harder to talk about it because.
It is because I've become a person.
Kind of.
And you don't want to hurt their feelings if they tune in and his name's not actually Kyle. So at least we haven't talked about him too much. But I do want to say. Yeah, now that I'm single, where was I even going with that?
We were talking about
when I was seeing him, he would pay for everything, and you get in this routine where it's like, oh, this is so nice.
Yeah,
you just feel
you feel looked after. Like, and we're all animals, and it does just go back to that whole, you feel like you're the one being looked after, which is nice, but I don't know.
I mean,
I think you work it out between you.
No, I think I do stand by if we're demanding equal pay, then it should be kind of a 50-50 slash maybe one time you treat them, maybe one time not.
Actually, a guy, I was at dinner with a guy friend of mine, and he actually said his mom always taught him, you always want to be with a girl who reaches for the bill. Like, never let her pay, but you still want to be with a girl that
but
kind of, like,
actually reaches for the bill, not the girl that's like, like puts a fingertip on it as like a gesture.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I try to pay and my boyfriend won't let me, but you know, that's also because we never get to see, we're long distance, so we don't get to see each other. So I think he also feels like, you know.
Good on you guys for doing the long distance thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a 6-year relationship and about 3 years of that probably combined was long distance and it was just.
It's rough, man.
Yeah.
But you know, I think like I had a lot of time with him at Thanksgiving when I was home and I was just talking to him on the phone about this before I came here. I think I desperately needed it. It was only 3 days that we had together, but I needed those 3 days
bad.
So and people don't really fully understand, I think, until you're. We weren't together for 6 weeks and that's a long time to not be with the person you want to see.
Absolutely.
So even like we were at his parents' house and I was decorating Christmas stuff with his mom and he fell asleep, like took a nap. And I was just happy that he was in the room, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird.
Oh, totally.
Anyway, that's a whole different tangent. But it also kind of, the paying thing goes back to what you asked me about. What I noticed when I first moved was that everything is so expensive. And it's funny to think back now that it's been like almost 9 years. Cause you know, when I go home or when people come here, I'm like, oh, it's not bad for a $30 salad or something. But it's when I first moved here,
I factor in an Australian exchange rate as well. Oh, I'm dying.
Yeah. It's a lot. Yeah. Well, and when I first came here, I was in a dorm on the Upper East Side. So my grocery store was Christie's, which if you don't know, it's like one of the most expensive ones. Yeah. And then my school was in Soho. So I went to Dean and DeLuca for lunch every day, which is not a cheap thing. No. It's like
I lived in Soho just before. And yeah, like there's so many good little restaurants that you want to go into. But when you do that, you're committing yourself to like a $50 bill at least.
Exactly.
You know, if you want the drinks and the food and all that, which I always do.
And then not to mention cabs. Even if you have a cab to the airport, it's going to be probably $50, $60.
Yes. And the way that the trains are running these days, I mean, on the weekends, they just shut down. So sometimes you just have to get a cab. Like you try to avoid it. I mean, do you guys have, do you have public transportation in Australia?
Yeah. We're not that behind the times. We do.
Well, no, but I mean, even in like in Ohio, we don't have any. You have the bus, but nobody takes that.
So we, all our cities are really far apart from each other. So like all our main cities, of course, do, but then I don't really like it's America's really interesting in how it's structured. Like I was literally in Jersey today and it like that wigs me out so much because that's a whole different city and I can literally see it from New York. Like that is not like a
it's
thing
bizarre.
In Australia. There's like Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, you know, Queensland, Perth. That's
but they're all super spread out.
Yeah, they're
so
all spread
you can't
out.
Be
so they
in
all do
the same day.
Public. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
well, I mean, you could if you took a flight, but.
Of course. Yeah. Well, to get a, so my hometown, Perth, and where I live with my friend Phoebe, who I do the podcast with, that's like a 4.5 to 5 hour flight. Just to get from like one part of the country to
that's
another.
Nuts.
Well, and speaking of that, I was such an idiot when I went to Australia. So I was in Fiji for my birthday trip and my friend Sadie and I were like, should we just be crazy and go to Australia?
It's so,
so
close.
You we didn't,
well.
But we didn't know. We thought Sydney and Melbourne were all kind of close. Yeah. We found out they weren't. So we just decided to go to Melbourne and that's where I met Phoebe.
Yeah,
so she kind of connected us.
Yeah.
But we had no idea. We, cause we came from Fiji, which was really hot and beachy. We thought,
You had no clothes.
We thought Australia was going to be a beach with kangaroos.
And Melbourne's like,
we are so stupid. Yeah, none of us thought to Google the weather or anything. Yeah. But Melbourne, it was basically winter when we went.
No, so Melbourne's very close to Antarctica. So it gets all that like Antarctic, like freezing cold wind. Yeah.
Oh my God. So we got there. And also too, I mean, Melbourne's wonderful, but it's pretty much just a city.
It's
it looks like any other city in the U.S. It really does.
Particularly New York. It's very, like, to me, it's like, oh, yeah, this is just a really, really, really big Melbourne.
Yeah. So, like, you look out the window, and we had no idea. We were so dumb. We thought we were going to find some Australian cowboy types with freaking emus or whatever there.
Little did you know you'd find a Wall Street broker.
It was very, like, industrial. It was crazy. I mean, it was fun, and I'm so happy to have met everybody there.
Yeah.
I will say, my friend Charlie, who's from Sydney, he's beautiful. He looks just like Heath Ledger and he sounds like it. It's kind of creepy. We met in film school here and we all were like, hold on, because he had just passed away. We're like, wait a second, this is bizarre.
Yeah.
But he is more of that like artsy, like not a cowboy, but
we say hipster.
But we'll Skype sometimes, and I'm like, I just want you to talk for hours because I love listening to you. And what
it's
a
sexy,
it's a bit of a
it's word. A sexy accent.
Well, it's a bit polarizing. Some people are like, can you just shh for a little bit.
Oh no, I think it's so beautiful. Seriously.
I think it's better than our accent.
Me too.
No, I love a New York accent.
This is a little bit of a transition, but something on my mind, you guys, I can't believe this happened. You'll relate. So it has to do with Survivor. Okay, so I'm not a very materialistic person. Yeah. I don't have a lot of things that I hold dear to me. I'm not very sentimental, but probably my number one possession that I own.
Yeah.
Is my hidden immunity idol that I went home with on Survivor.
Course.
I'm the only female to have gone home with it.
Right.
It's very special to me.
Yeah.
I bring it out once in a while for Survivor events.
Yeah.
So anyway, this last week, I went to a Survivor party and I did an Instagram takeover for Survivor CBS and it was so much fun. It was me and maybe four other people that I know pretty well.
Yeah.
Brought my idol. We're taking pictures, videos, and then I go to leave and I thought I grabbed it and put it in my purse, but I was also a little wine drunk, so it wasn't like, you know how it is.
Yeah. Absent-minded.
Yeah.
We all get
there. So I go home and I was with my friend Josh at the time, so we're talking very intensely, catching up. We're on the train. He gets off at his stop. I check my bag and the necklace, the idol isn't there. So I think, oh, okay, I must have left it at this party.
Yeah.
So I text the girl and I'm like, hey, I think I left my idol there. And she's like, no, it's not here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I think it is, because no, it is not in my bag. It is not in my pockets. And I look, it's 100%
not. My person.
And she's like, there's, you know, it was her and then the other two people that were still there. They searched her apartment 3 times, and especially where I was, the couch and everything. It wasn't there.
Please tell me there's a happy ending to the story.
No happy ending.
What?
So you guys, I'm like very bummed about this. And I realize with everything going on in the world, this is like a material thing and it's fine. But of all my possessions, this is the number one possession I have that actually means so much to me.
Hold on a second. I feel like, okay, there's no chance that you lost it on the train.
No, there's
no chance. Where else would it have been? Yeah. So it has to be at her house somewhere.
She looked with the two other people there, and I was only sitting on the couch and the necklace idol.
Maybe someone took it on accident. Not like for real.
But I texted everybody and was like, you guys, just make sure you didn't grab it. Yeah. But it was on the little table. So I remember grabbing the pile of stuff. So it was like my buff. I don't remember grabbing the necklace specifically, but I do remember I grabbed everything and put it in my bag.
Yeah.
I think that honestly, because it's not at her place, they searched it and she's going to search it again. I think that what happened was it somehow was dangling out of my bag, and I was either pickpocketed or it slid out and somehow Josh and I didn't hear it fall on the ground. That's the only thing, unless there's like a sociopath among us, these are friends. They did not steal it.
Right,
it's so unique to me that what would they do with it? And I also trust them. I'm not at all thinking any of them stole it.
Of course not.
But I'm just saying,
you just don't know where it's gone.
I'm just saying, it must have fell out on the street, and anyone seeing it, unless you're somehow a huge Survivor fan, you're going to think it's just a trinket and it's probably just going to be thrown away. So I've been dealing with that the last 2 days.
I'm
sorry too.
I keep reminding myself, look, there's freaking fires in California. People lose their entire homes. People lose their loved ones. It's not that big of a deal. I'm just so bummed because it was just a really special
thing. But it's important to you. And the bottom line is there are so many important things going on in the world. Yes, but this was important to you.
This is personal. Yeah. You're allowed to have
to have emotions about that. I mean, if I lost my baby blanket, I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's probably the one thing that if I lost that, I would be miserable because I've had it since I was born. Like, it was a gift from my aunt. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I take it on flights. Like I hate flying. So I just like have it in my bag as like a comfort blanket, literally. But I was speaking with someone yesterday who her I think aunt and uncle lost their home in a fire. And lost all their wedding albums and everything. Things. And she was saying, like, yes, they're just material things, but those are things that you can't get back.
Yeah. I'm so bummed about it. Aww. I mean, I'm just...
I wish I had a solution for
you.
It's
so fresh.
Like,
well, I've been watching so many crime docs that I'm like, what if I contacted the police and got the video surveillance of this street? And I mean, I know I sound kind of chipper about it now, but I'm always chipper when I'm talking with friends. And I'm trying to just like work through it and be like, it's okay. You have the memories and it's still cool. You found an idol on Survivor.
It was a tangible thing that you still had.
I'm still holding out hope that like somehow, I don't know.
I feel like it's going to turn up. I really feel like it's going to turn up. I think, too, if she looked that night and you all had been wine drinking, I mean...
But three of them looked.
I know. I'm just...
I think it's...
the optimist.
I think it's gone. I just wanted to say it's so sad. If anyone sees something like that, a necklace, an idol, my idol on eBay, like, let me know.
Let's do, like, a global idol
search. Yeah, seriously.
Like, I don't know. Survivor. Maybe someone grabbed it and was like, this is the idol that Andrew went home with on Cara Moen.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have anything that you'd be really sad to lose?
Well, I actually like relate so similarly to it because when I was on Survivor as well, when you get the gifts from home? So my little gift from home was like this necklace that my mum had made collectively with all these, with all these things. So like a little, like a charm, you know, those charms that you could put like, photos in.
Like a locket.
Like a locket. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there was a locket and then there was her like favorite, bracelet that she always wore. And then in the locket, it was like a picture of my boyfriend at the time and then my family. And I literally looked at this thing like a television when I was out there because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And so it meant so much and it got me through so many hard times. But then when I went to the jury villa, which is, you guys call it?
The jury. Ponderosa. Yeah,
Ponderosa. That's the one. And so when I was there, I actually also got a little bit drunk. So maybe it's just as a PSA just not to get drunk when you have important things on hand. But I also lost it. It just literally vanished, nowhere to be seen. And that was also, I'm not materialistic, but that I was like, I'm super bummed that I don't have that. I wanted to like have that forever and give it to my kids and like all of that kind of stuff. But it's a human thing like to attach meaning
to things like that. Absolutely. And I think it's totally natural. I mean, my mom wrote me a card. I used to get really homesick in school when I was little, and I would like fake sick. It's embarrassing, but anyway, but I had a really hard time. And so, when I was in daycare, I think in elementary school, I would go from school right to daycare. So I had a really hard time.
Yeah.
And she made me this card, which I still have to this day. It's literally all crumpled up. The writing is like deteriorating because I held it so much, but it was a picture of me, my sister and my mom on one side. And on the other side, it was something really sweet of like, you're always in my heart. You're never far away. And it means so much to me now having it because I am far away physically from my parents. But it, so that's something that I would also be upset to lose, but I'm glad that I have it. And even at the time, it was such a little thing. She probably didn't even think about it. She thought, I'm putting a little note in her lunch or whatever, but I have it to this day and I'm almost 30.
She's creating like an artifact from like a time in your life. Like, and you wouldn't even know.
And
that.
Same with the charm bracelet. Yeah. I mean, really, because it's, you know, those things are precious, even though they're things.
I know. But so can I ask you this one question? Because I was actually listening to a podcast, like kind of, they were touching on this issue and they were like, okay, so say it's that idol. Now imagine if someone was, so they don't return your idol, but they have, they like are giving you an exact replica to like every, like microscopically, like every atom is the same. But it's not your idol. It's essentially a clone of your idol. Does that still, you find that idol, does that still then carry the same amount of emotional?
You say that they would give it to me and I knew it was a replica?
Yeah, and then so like technically you have it back, but it's also not really the original.
I thought about that and I think that, I mean, obviously I know it's not the real idol. I'm not going to trick myself. But I think then just having it and people would say, oh, is this the real idol? I at least have a story of like, no, but it's exactly the same.
Yes.
Like I thought about that. I'm like, does CVS have extra copies?
You should just frame a picture of you and the idol.
Well, with 3D printers, maybe for Christmas we can get
it sounds like I lost a pet or something. I thought of like all the phases I've been in through with this idol, like the pictures, like it's been a lot of places.
Yeah.
I am surprised because I lose everything that I hadn't lost it already. Yeah. Of all the times I was drunk and brought it to survivor parties and like everyone had it. It could have been anywhere, but I lose everything though. I'm just not good at holding on to things. I'm also not really a gifts or like tangible, you know, thing like that.
Well, there's
kind of
no point. Because, like, so my mom, when she's just decided not to get me anything anymore because I just lose it. Because I'm also like, but I really enjoyed it at the time. And yes, I lost it. Or yes, it got a scratch on it. But, like, I still really appreciate it. It doesn't take it away from the gift. And she's like, yeah, but it means a lot to me that it's got a scratch in it. So, like, now I just don't want to buy you gifts anymore. And I'm like, that's fair enough.
That does kind of remind me of, just because this kind of happened with my whatever breakup thing with Kyle, is we just had different love languages, I think.
Yes.
And I think about gifts a lot because I'm not a gifts person. I mean, an idol's a little different than a gift, but it's kind of in the same world or whatever. Are you guys, you know your love languages? I'm just fascinated with love languages.
I can't believe how much, like, the topics we are touching on is literally, I probably discussed these things in the last 24 hours. Like, even the Heath Ledger thing, I was like, we were literally discussing
him. That's wild.
Just, like, about 12 hours.
We've just been listening to you for 24 hours. We've been stalking you.
I have my phone too.
Well, for people that don't know what they are, and maybe you don't follow them, I just think that, I don't know, I think they're very applicable. But the five love languages are quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch, and words of affirmation.
I think I'm quality time and maybe words of affirmation, which I've never really believed in until this relationship.
Oh, really? So you find that you have to affirm and tell each other how much you mean?
No, he doesn't feel that way at all. Yeah, he doesn't feel that way at all. When we were home, I think at one point I was like, oh, I love you. It's not the first time I've said it. We've said it a lot, but he like was quiet and I was like, excuse me. And I was like half joking, but he was like, I don't feel the need to say it to you right now because you know how I feel about you. But I think because it is long distance, I'm not a gifts person either. So I don't really care about that, but it is the quality time. And then, you know, having time on the phone is also super important. Totally. So I guess
that's kind of both, really. Quality time and it's both. It's all in one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, so I've actually taken the test twice. I took the test when I was in a relationship and then I took the test when I was single.
And it's also, just so you guys know, it's the, how you show your love. Yes. It's how you show your love.
Is it or is it?
It's how you need to be loved.
I think
that's what I meant.
That's how you need to be loved.
So it's how you want and need to be loved.
Yeah, it's how you understand it. It's how you understand that you're loved. Yeah. But I always think, like, if you take the test while you're in a relationship, like, you'll probably favor the things you get less of. So, like, just because while you're in the relationship, you don't get as much as that. So when it does happen, it means more. So I think it's actually it's fairer to do the test when you're single and there's like no kind of factors influencing. But mine are acts of service, which sounds really bad, but it's like, you know, when you come home and someone's done the dishes for you and you're like, oh, you really know I was stressed about the dishes. That's so kind. Cause it's like a time sacrifice, which I think is the,
and it's something that you don't have to worry about now.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also words of affirmation. I think that's just a girl thing.
Interesting.
What are you?
I am very, my acts of kindness are very, very low, or acts of service are very low. Cause I guess I just don't function like that I don't know. That's why I think it's interesting, cause everyone's different.
Yeah.
Mine's quality time and then physical touch.
Yeah.
I just know
that's important too.
When I'm in something, I am just so clingy.
Yes.
Just like physically clingy.
Yeah. I'm
someone that like I'll be laying on top of the person to watch Netflix.
Yeah.
Just like as close as I can possibly get to the person.
We watched an episode of The Haunting at Hill House, which was actually pretty good, but I don't know. I still need to give it a try because everyone keeps saying how terrifying it is, and the first episode really didn't scare me.
Same.
Right? That makes me feel better. It was just a lot of backstory, which is good, but I was like, all right, where's the scary part?
Yeah.
Anyway, but we were watching it at his parents' house, and at one point he was like, just lay on top of me, but he was on his stomach, and I was like, this is not comfortable. So I was like, my stomach was on his back, and I was like, I'm not down with this. But yeah, I guess I've also, I don't know, I've learned a lot about myself from being in a relationship. It's my first relationship, so I've learned so much, but I think that I also am a pretty touchy person, which I never thought I would be, but not in a PDA way, just like a whole handhold or a leg touch, like that goes a long way.
I'm very PDA. I just I love it. I'm all about
just can't
it.
Can't get enough of them.
Yeah, I'm also like, I like snuggling at night and cuddling. Are you a cuddler?
I think that's where the spark comes from, you know, when they say the elusive spark. I think the spark is all to do with the physical touch, you know, and it's almost like you were saying with your ex. He's like, he's perfect in every way, but like if something's just not quite there, it could be just that spark thing, and that you know, it just happens, and it's super hard to force, and then sometimes it just goes away out of nowhere, like especially at the 4 month mark, like, you know, and you sort of really get to know all the things about a person. And then you're like, oh, it's kind of went away. I don't really know how to explain it. It's happened to me before.
And for me, too, is I noticed that, I don't know why, I'm noticing another pattern with me is I find that when I'm single, all of my issues I have to deal with myself.
Yeah.
But when I'm in a relationship and I have these issues or day-to-day, I'm stressed about something, I put all of it on someone.
Yeah.
And I think that was kind of causing a lot of tension.
Of course,
because as soon as I ended it and I had to deal with my normal issues of, I don't know, feeling depressed or whatever, then all of a sudden I was like, okay, Andrea, it's just you. You better deal with it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I rose to the occasion.
Yeah.
And I have to figure out how to do that, and I can also be in a relationship and not dump everything on the other person.
Yeah. I do that too, though. I think it's a normal thing. But it's not healthy or okay.
Yeah, I think if you keep doing it,
the relationship
becomes so negative because I can kind of see myself, you know, out of it and look down on like what happened down. I'm like putting myself, I was up here.
You're
floating in the sky. I went to heaven, guys. No, but when I kind of, you know, step back and look at it, I realized I was creating a lot of negativity by bringing my own shit into something and looking for him to fix it, when I am capable of fixing it myself.
Mm.
So I'm just trying to learn. I'm going to take some time off of dating, though.
Yeah.
Right now,
but it is. This brings up a good point, which is something that Sam and I just spoke about as well, where you want to share these things with the person because it's part of your life. It's what you're going through, especially if it's a hard time and you need help, or you want whatever, just camaraderie. But it does. It can make, you know, like if I have a couple bad weeks, which happens every month, I guess the month is only 4 weeks. So I don't know. But you know, there's times where it's just like a really bad day or a really bad week and you're really low. Mm. And then you bring that into the conversation and you're not meaning to be a bitch. You're not meaning to be whatever, and it just comes out and it changes everything. And then 5 minutes later, I call him and I'm like, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that, but you're still in that bad mood. And
it's just like, apologizing while you're doing
exactly. So I think it's normal, but it's also, again, it's something I'm learning that you're learning as well, which is good. And it's, I think, which you'll probably find as well with your show, I think that doing this show has taught Andrea and I so much about ourselves and about how we view things and our opinions on things and our patterns, because not everybody like has a weekly thing where they sit and they talk about their problems or talk about stuff that comes up. And in a way, I've never been to therapy, and I think it is valuable, but it almost sometimes feels like therapy because we are putting our shit out there. We're being super personal.
Well,
and it can teach you a lot.
Do you know what I think the difference though there with the podcast is like, and that's where the relationships, that's when relationships gets tricky, because what it essentially is you're in a safe space where Andreas is not taking anything that you're venting about as anything personal to her, because it's, she's, there's a degree of separation because you're not obviously, you know, romantic partners. You're obviously very important business partners, but like there's a degree of separation there. Whereas, so that's why it's a two-way street, because in a relationship, like if you're being crabby or whatever, and then it's firstly up to you to try hone that back as much as you can, you know, considering all things considered. But then also it's up to the person you're with to really understand that and be like, oh, this isn't about me. This is just, you know, what, you know, you need to go through just for a little bit. And then we can address all the kind of bigger issues later. But so it is a two-way street.
Yeah. And something else I said today to him was, I think, especially like the last little break we had without seeing each other was 6 weeks, which is a long time.
Yeah.
And I think that I started to look at him for happiness, which is not right.
No.
And
oh,
it's not fair.
And
I've always been the friend that has told my friends, like, you know, you cannot put your happiness in someone else. Yeah. I don't care if it's a friend or a relationship romantically, but you have to be the cause for your happiness or find things like meditation or whatever.
Yeah.
But I started to do that in him. Yeah. And I also think that so many people, I get really, I might have brought this up before, but I get super annoyed when people say, well, I feel like a complete person now.
Oh.
Fuck that. I'm sorry, I'm swearing so much. But you're a whole person, right?
Yeah.
So when someone says, well, you're my better half, it's like, fuck that. I'm my better half because I'm both of my half. You know what I mean?
So screwed would you be if then something was to happen? Like,
exactly.
Not even like the relationship breaks up. It's like, what if that person died?
Right.
Then essentially you're dying too.
And also you're a whole person before you meet them.
Yeah.
So you're a whole person with them. They're just an addition. Mm. But I think I started to fall into that pattern of like, make me happy, make everything okay.
Pretty much exactly what I was saying is I'm putting everything on that person because I'm looking for, it's like you're shaking that person being like, okay, this is my problem, now make me happy because that's what you do.
Yeah.
But
well, it's like a drug.
Yeah.
You know, like you're kind of like, I need that high and you're the one who always gives me the high and right now I'm low and like, it's just that you're just going back to it like any normal.
And it's just not fair. It's not fair to the other person.
Yeah, it's not.
Oh, but I just hate it because, I don't know, it comes from being a moody person. Like, I'm just such a moody person. So you never know what's going to happen.
But also, I think it's a positive in a way because it shows that you care about that person and that you value their input in your life. Mm. Because if you didn't, it would just kind of be like, okay, well.
True. They're just existing around you.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Like you're invested in their just view of the world, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But I do believe still that your happiness cannot lie in someone else. It has to lie in you. And that's something that I've had to remind myself of.
Yeah, I think that's really important. We have different degrees of dating, huh? Now that I'm single.
I know.
Committed relationship. And you're kind of seeing
totally
someone?
Dating.
Oh,
no, yeah.
But is it one
single? Yes.
Oh.
As in like, so yeah, dating.
You're dating around.
Is like, single.
So how are you doing that?
Oh, I thought you said you were dating a comedian.
So yeah, that's what I kind of, so I'm like seeing him. So it's not, you know how everything's super casual these days?
Yes.
Like it's kind of just like,
I've
been talking to this guy maybe 3 weeks. So like it's super, super kind of, you know.
New. And who will know?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Who will see? I can't talk. How did you meet?
So we actually met at a comedy club.
Did you just see my eyes gaze over as I didn't know what the fuck I was saying?
You're like, get a question.
How did you meet? Forward.
Wait, so,
I'm sorry.
How
did you meet at a comedy club?
Yeah, so he's a comedian and very typically, I actually went to a comedy show and it was one of those things where like, I just kind of went and thought nothing of it. And then he was by far the best comedian at this gig. And
I would hope so. Because if you're dating a bad comedian, I'd be like,
That's got to be hard to date a bad comedian.
You have to awkwardly laugh and it's like, No, so he was by far the best comedian. And then he was actually hanging around afterwards. And literally, like, I was kind of staring at him for 20 minutes. And I was like, that guy's pretty good looking. Like, you know, I'd go there but I didn't pursue him because, like, I'm not really a pursuey kind of girl. But I did, he was hanging around back after the show around in the audience and I just wanted to be like, look, you were like the best out there, good job, amazing. And then so I said that to him and then he was like, oh, okay. He gave me his business card and I was like, oh, because he was super like not, like he gave me his business card, like it was so like sterile. It wasn't.
It was
really
almost transactional. This is not it romantic wasn't at all. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, so he's got a girlfriend. That's cool. Whatever. But I followed him on Instagram because I wanted to go watch him do another show. And then he slid into my DMs. And then.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
There
and I was
you
like,
are.
Oh, he doesn't have a girlfriend. Okay. Different story.
Is he here?
Yeah, so he's the reason I was in New Jersey today.
Oh. But you're open to going out on dates with other people.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I'm definitely one of those people that if, like, I'm kind of regularly seeing a person, it's kind of hard to really be seeing other people at the same time.
Yeah, me too. I'm that way too. If I like someone and they're my first choice, I'm not going to have other side choices.
Exactly, like, why would you? Yeah.
Well, and I tried to do that one time where I went on, like, 3 dates with someone and then someone else came into the scene and I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And the whole time I was just sitting there feeling kind of icky. Like,
because then when you're on the date with your second choice, it sounds terrible. Oh, it sounds terrible. Yeah,
exactly.
Then you're like, oh, man, I wish I was.
Tim is shaking his head at us.
Our producer is like, that's how it is. No, dating is...
I know.
This is why dating sucks.
No,
this
dating,
is why it's terrible.
It does. Obviously, it's the apps. It's so many choices in New York.
People have people on back burners, and you think you're the main choice,
totally.
And you're the freaking appetizer.
Because a lot of our listeners ask about this, like, what's the way to approach that when you're seeing someone you want to be exclusive? But if you're the one that brings it up too early, the guy freaks out, which I think is a problem I've faced in the past, where all of a sudden, I kind of make it clear, oh, well, I'm only dating you, and then the guy starts to freak out. Because they want to have their options too.
It's terrible.
But I also think maybe then that's not the right person.
No, it's not.
You know?
Totally, or it's not the right time.
Exactly.
You didn't meet them at the right time. Mm-hmm. Okay, before we go, I want to do, we have a couple listener questions, but maybe we'll just get to one, but I'll do this one. Let's see. There's a lot of people that are actually thinking of moving to New York.
I know. which makes me a little nervous.
Makes us nervous because we have a girl is going to be moving to New York because we said, oh, you should after a breakup.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Hope you like it.
Just do it. You'll
be
fine.
Just do it.
Yeah, it'll be a life experience.
So this is from Sarah. She says, Andrew and Caitlin, you're both so great. Put out such positive vibes.
Wait, that's funny.
Which is funny because usually we're like, I'm depressed this week. I don't know why. She says, love starting my week off with your pod. I've been working at the same company since I graduated from college. I've been there 4 to 5 years. Or 4.5 years, whatever. And no, it's not my forever place. Very specific.
Same thing.
But it's been really comfortable and sustains the lifestyle I enjoy. I recently came across a job that honestly, I can't imagine something I would enjoy doing more as a career than this. It feels right. My gut is telling me yes, yes, yes. The big caveat is that it is literally my pay. Oh, no. That it is literally half my pay that I have now with my current job. Eek.
Yeah.
So she says, I know you're both Midwest girls and moved to NYC. I'm from Ohio too, Caitlin.
Hey, girl.
Can you speak to the times you may have had to pick up extra side hustles when taking a sort of risk? I'm 27, single, really only have myself and my pup to worry about. I feel like this is the right time for this. But am I being too hard-eyed about it? Has your intuition ever let you down? Thank you.
No.
That's from Sarah.
Never. Yeah. I think you always follow your intuition. Yeah. I think... I side hustle all the time. Like right now, my jobs are babysitting and teaching kids.
I'm side hustling right now as well. I have a cafe job.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Like if
it's
you enjoy
fun.
It, yeah.
Like I worked in casting. I was an associate. I had a really nice, steady job and I loved it so much and I loved who I worked for. But she is like my second mom and she knew I was miserable because I had no time to audition.
Yeah.
So after 2 years of full time every day being there, she kind of pushed me out of the nest and it was really, it's exactly what you're talking about. It's that jumping and hoping you land on your feet. But, you know, I think that you have to take those risks in order to gain something.
I 100% agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't regret it for a second. I miss casting, but I also love having the flexibility that I have now. And
well, we're in the field where we almost always have to have side jobs.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm really lucky with my job at People because it's, you know, salary job, very stable. But I have no idea how long it's going to last. Yeah. It could end in a month. Yeah. You just never know.
There's
so I'm
no
always prepared. And in the years before I was at People, I had most random jobs. I mean, I was a dog walker for a while, which was actually really fun.
Yeah, I think that's a great
job. One time I was a magician's assistant.
Oh, wait, were you really?
Chris, that was probably my most obscure job. Yeah, I was a magician's assistant and it was for a holiday show.
Yeah.
So I had to dress up as a reindeer.
Oh, that's amazing.
At one point, I had to do a quick change from the reindeer
Stop.
To the elf.
Oh,
and you guys,
wait, where was
it? It was before I really had Instagram. So it was, we traveled. We went from Chicago to New York in a, like a van or whatever. With, it was weird. There was birds in the bus.
Wait,
it was on a bus. It was just me and this magician.
Was the magician a real magician?
Yeah. These photos.
I mean, it was like, it was a kid's show, but I got sawed in half.
How did they do it?
I mean, no, it's just boxes. It's boxes.
What do you mean?
You just move your body. As soon as he starts doing it, then you move your body.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't the elaborate thing. This is one of the elaborate things you see on TV. This was like a kid's show.
That's amazing, though. How old were you?
23.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was, I was just taking any jobs I could.
Yeah.
It was hilarious. Yeah. But
I would pay to see those photos. I was Cinderella once at a kid's birthday party, which was super weird. Me and a Spider-Man. I mean, it was, that was a bizarre job I had.
Yeah.
That was a one-time thing too. But yeah, I mean, I think we just like pick things up as we can. I don't know. Yeah. Have you ever had a random?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I've always just kind of done modeling, and like the only work I've ever done is really just to help people out. But in New York, as we were saying, it's so expensive, and I was chewing so hard into my savings. So I was like, do you know what? I've got free time. I'm literally just going to take up a little cafe job. And it's, and I just say to this girl, like, it seems scary and hard when you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to work two jobs. But when you're just doing it, you're just kind of getting it done. And I actually think if you just jump into it and get it done and work it out as it's happening. Like sometimes you have to, what's this? Sometimes you have to build the plane on the way down or something like that.
Oh, I like that. Like,
and I just think that's the best way to do it. And it's interesting that she said her gut is telling her this, because you know the gut has, and I wish I had the scientific words for it to like make what I'm about to say seem more real, but it is real. Your gut has more like, brain receptors or something along those lines as like a cat's intuition. Like your gut actually genuinely kind of knows when you're doing the right thing versus the wrong thing. So if she's got that gut instinct, then I think she's good.
I do think some people have a stronger gut instinct. I'm so back and forth on a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah. I just can't make my mind up.
Yeah.
But if you feel that you want to take this job, especially if it's your dream job, take it.
Because it may not come along again.
Yeah.
You also find something that you can make money. Sometimes people do things online or like
anything.
A coffee shop on, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah.
But, or a bar. Bars pay so well. Yeah. If you can get like a cocktailing job on the weekend, I mean, it can pay you sometimes $1,000 depending on where you are.
And as long as you can make enough money to live and take care of your pup, which I'm very jealous because I really
and look,
want a dog.
It's when else are you going to do it? You know, you've only got a pup. You've got no one else to look after.
Exactly. If you had kids and a husband, not that you have to take care of your husband. I do not mean that. But I just mean like,
even if you do,
but you know, if you have to buy diapers and stuff, like that's not the time to be like, I'm going to take a pay cut in half. Like now is your time. Yeah. I say do it.
I mean, I would take a pay cut if it was my dream job.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying, if you only have to feed your mouth, that's
if you're
weird.
Dealing with one factor
exactly
basically.
And you're not why am I being so weird today? If you don't have
each time you do it, it's funny.
Feed other people, something's wrong. If you don't have to feed other people is what I'm saying, then do it.
Yeah,
you know?
You're only accountable to yourself. You've only got to reconcile your sacrifices like with yourself, and that's easy to do. It's like a one-way conversation with yourself.
Well, you look at all those interviews with so many famous actors. I'm thinking of Peter Dinklage right now, but he had an interview I read that for like years, I think he slept on the floor of a Brooklyn studio and ate ramen. And I mean, people think that's a joke, but it's true.
Yeah.
People actually sacrifice food to make a career happen. So I think that I say go for it.
Yeah.
Also, there's no shame in having roommates. In New York, everyone, doesn't matter your age or even job or how much you make, everyone is roommates. Everyone I mean, I somehow don't. I wish I had roommates because I get lonely AF. But no, I don't think there's any shame in taking a side job or having roommates or doing any of that stuff. So I say go get it.
The last thing I'll say is we talked about this last episode, but Jeffrey Owens, like he, you know what I mean? He worked in Trader Joe's and was on The Cosby Show. Like there's no shame in doing something on the side.
Yeah. Okay, last question. This one is so bizarre. And some people might
didn't let us read it. Because I thought it was a joke.
Well, we saved it till the end, so if you don't want a question, you want to hear a question about poop, then you can probably...
We talk about poop a lot, though, so I feel like it's okay.
Okay, so this was from, I'm not even kidding, the email is freedomofpooping@gmail.com.
They made an email to write us an email, I think, which is bizarre.
And look, this could definitely be a prank. However, it's a a real question. Okay. So Poop Police, that's what they call themselves, says this. Can you settle a debate? I have been pooping in the garbage disposal because our toilet is broken and the plumber can't get here until Monday. My girlfriend says she's going to break up with me if I do it again. She insists on asking to use the neighbor's bathroom, who we don't even know.
No.
I don't see what the big deal is. It all goes to the same place, and I clean the sink every time. Can you get the Poop Police off my back and tell her that she's being unreasonable? My first thing is I'm confused because you're saying that you're pooping in the garbage disposal, and then
Then
you said that you're cleaning the sink every time.
Well, so
are you
a garbage disposal's in the sink.
Oh, my God.
Wait, what?
Oh, my God. Is that what they're saying?
Oh, yes. A garbage disposal. It's where you put the potato peels, and then you turn the flip, thing on, and
that
then they go down
so
the sink.
Different.
That's disgusting.
So, what I thought.
So they're talking about the kitchen sink.
Yeah, I don't know why he was so specific and said garbage disposal, because that's where you literally put scraps of food and then you put a switch on and it.
Oh, I was thinking, okay, that makes sense.
No, shit in a bag. I'm not into this question.
Oh, actually.
No, just poop in a bag, bury it outside. I don't care what you do, but there's no excuse to poop in the sink.
Yeah, right. But
I'm sorry.
But I'm just only considering those two options. I'm like, pooping in the sink sucks. But then also, I would hate, like, as the neighbor, I would hate for my neighbor just to come into my house on a daily for the sole purpose of shitting in my bathroom.
The question is, do you go to the neighbor's or do you actually just poop in your apartment?
No, I think you poop in a bag.
I like your option C.
Buy baby wipes, poop in a bag. I'm not kidding. That's not that bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it, but I would not poop in the sink is my bottom line. That's really disgusting. So much bacteria. Not that you eat out of the sink, but I'm like, vomit's coming up my throat talking about this. Timmy, you walked in on a really good part. But also, yeah, I wouldn't go to my neighbors every time I have to poop and be like, sorry, I brought my poopery over.
Yeah, but that's again a good option. Because this is the thing. He's only given us two options.
Exactly.
So they're both really hard. But he could poop at work. He could schedule,
Or just
more than
take a
just that.
No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. That's bad.
It's that weird to talk about pooping. I think after being on Survivor, I was way more open about that stuff.
Yeah. I don't think it's weird. I just think this is a prank.
Yeah. Well, before going on Survivor, I would never even talk about pooping or ever farting. Anything in front of someone I was dating. Oh, absolutely not. But then after doing Survivor and everyone's so open about it.
Yeah.
I pooped in the ocean or aqua dumps.
Yeah.
I'm like, everyone does it. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's a bubbly function.
I think that this person, whether you're pranking us or not, here's my real answer. Poop in a bag, use a baby wipe, or poop at work or go to the coffee shop. But
literally
there's so many other options than your fucking sink. I think that's so filthy. Sorry, Poop Police, but I don't know.
We should change his name to just Shits for Brains.
Sink shitter. Yeah. Can that be the title of this episode?
Just wanted to get that one in there.
I mean,
anything else on people's minds this week?
Actually, yeah, something
I
really quick.
Thinking about the poop sink situation.
I know. I want to end this on a different note. This is just really small, but when I came in to record today, we always have to check in down at the front desk, and there's always a different security guard. They're always very sweet. Mind you, they've known us now for almost a year, but we still have to give our ID and check in and whatever. You ask people casually, how are you? How you doing today? Whatever.
Yeah.
We ask that to everybody, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a difference between asking someone just to ask and then to genuinely ask, because you're going to get a genuine response.
Right.
And I think people can tell when you're actually curious about what they're saying than just being, polite.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I came in and I genuinely asked the man, how are you? And he went off on this tangent and he goes, well, my day was good until an hour ago. And my supervisor started telling me this thing, which I happily took on. I was okay, dude, you needed to talk about this. But I think, I don't know, it was a thought on my mind that there's a difference between genuinely asking someone and wanting to actually know an answer than just being polite. Because so many times we're like, well, how are you today? Whatever. You don't fucking care.
You only really want good. And you're like,
exactly.
Good.
And then you're like, okay, thanks. I'm checking out now. But anyway, I thought that was an interesting little.
So let me ask you this. When you asked the question, because he obviously did go on the tangent, was the question, were you really coming at him with a, really though, how are you? Is that what you had anticipated?
I think it was that I made eye contact, because I think a lot of times people don't make eye contact these days, especially if you're ordering, a sandwich or something and the barista asks you, you're not looking at them sometimes. I don't know. I don't really know what it was, but, and I'm not patting myself on the back. I just think there's an interesting difference between genuinely like, wanting to know and then just wanting to hear, I'm fine, how are you?
Yeah.
Well, I think people are so accustomed to just saying, how are you? When you pass someone in the hallway, you usually say, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up? Yeah. And you're not actually expecting to get something back. Or if someone actually asks me, oh, how are you? I can't help but be completely honest.
Yeah,
when I'm not good, I'll say, not really good.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, here
I am. And some people don't know how to take that. And they're just like, whoa.
Here I'm like the person you were talking to at the front desk where I'm like, you know what? You want to know what happened? I lost my idol. It's my number one possession. Yeah, it kind of sucks.
But I like that, though. I like hearing how people's days, because not everyone is just fine all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And most of us are not fine, let's be real. Like, we're always going through something. But I actually was stuck in like a whole day scenario kind of that, where I had, I'd asked, like, I was on a shoot and the creative director, I was like, oh, how are you? And she was like, not good. Me and my boyfriend just broke up. I think she'd broken up with him last night. And then because I'd like triggered all those emotions, she was then playing like, so she was in charge of the playlist for the shoot, and they were all sad, depressing breakup songs. And I had, it was like a commercial shoot, so I was like laughing and smiling, and she was just hating life in the corner. And I'm just like, that is probably the most regretful how are you I have ever asked in my whole life. Like, I'm there for her, but it made working so very difficult.
But you know what? It might have helped her day too, because a lot of people like to vent, and it feels good to just get it out there. So she might have actually felt relieved to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's therapeutic in a way.
She probably went home and was like, oh, I've really had a chance to.
And all that music. That.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I feel like you should keep that separate and help out, you know.
Well, it was just very hard to be so smiley when, like, the songs
but I mean, she,
like,
I feel like
I
she should have kept the playlist separate at least. Yeah. But it probably helped her, you know. We all like to listen to sad music.
On this topic, just real quick, is when people are always asking us, how do you get out of a funk? I feel like I'm getting into a funk. Yeah. Something that does help me when I start to feel like I am so in my head and just not feeling good is when I'm out in the city, I will actually talk to people like GNC or at Starbucks and be like, how's your day? Like, you know, how are you doing? And I actually do mean it. And just having those interactions with people, because in this city, it's so hard because you could just get so tunnel visioned and you're just like in your own world.
Totally.
And just talking to people on the street and actually wanting to know how they are.
Yeah.
I don't know. It helps me. So that's just a little tip.
It helps
sometimes.
Me too.
Yeah.
Well, we're social animals. Like, we were literally, you know, evolution had us in communities. So I think now we're so isolated all the time. And even if you're like living by yourself as well, it would be even more so. Like, so you'd just be fulfilling that like animal need just to be around people. That's all it is. So you have to force yourself out even if you don't want to necessarily do that.
Well, yeah. And you also see like the glimmer in the, back to a barista, their eye of like when you actually talk to them, you know, or they're like, I'll go to Starbucks sometimes and they'll be dancing and I'm just like, yeah, I like this song too. And they're kind of like laughing, embarrassing, like off, they were caught off guard. Like someone saw them, but it's like a fun little thing. And you have an actual connection with someone
like,
for
a
second.
I'm a human. Let's acknowledge
exactly.
that.
Instead of just like eyes, like I was at the airport flying back here and this dickwad sitting next to me at the restaurant bar or whatever. I was ordering like my breakfast and he just would not look at the freaking bartender at all to place his order and write in his phone, and it was just it was like disgusting to me. I'm like, we're humans. Have
people.
A fucking human interaction.
Yeah.
Because we're all so now used to being on our phones and isolated, like you said.
Terrible.
Yeah. But I think at the bottom of it all, again, I can't fucking talk today. At the end of it, whatever. At the bottom of the barrel.
Where are we going?
This is the bottom of the barrel. Bottom of the barrel for me today. I'm going to go now. But at the end of the day, that's the fucking
that's
saying.
The one.
At the end of
we
the day,
that.
I got it out. Redeemed myself. I don't know what's happening today.
I love that. Bottom of the barrel.
At the bottom of the barrel, we all want a connection with people.
Right at the bottom of that barrel.
On that note, thank you guys so much for listening. Sarah, how can people follow you? And also, how can they tune into your podcast?
Yes. So I'm basically really only active on Instagram. I also realized that Americans use Twitter a lot. We don't use Twitter in Australia. Yeah,
really?
So I don't really have a Twitter. I mean, I do, but I don't.
I use Instagram more.
I really only use Twitter to check the news.
Yeah.
And also, I have to tweet for work.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, I'm not really tweeting out my brilliant opinions today.
And sometimes I'll write something funny on there and no one likes it because I'm not really active. So I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah, Canadian's like always on his Twitter. Like, he's like, oh, I just thought of a really good joke. And then he just gives it to the world for free. And I'm like, how is that?
I used to be better at it. I would tweet out stuff and sometimes I would get a lot of action, and then I think you just run out of your like own
yeah,
opinions.
Like my brain's dry.
And yeah, so sometimes I try, yeah. and then if it doesn't get any likes like really quickly, yeah. I'm like, I'm just gonna delete it.
I know. I put my shit on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
People support
don't
me on
Facebook.
That's
just for family and friends. Really, Instagram's the only thing I'm active on. But what I would love everyone to do is we've got me and my friend Phoebe, also on Survivor. We've got a podcast. It's very similar vein to this. It's just Australian. So if you like the accent, maybe you can listen to our podcast because it's a lot of this. And that podcast is called Surviving Life with Phoebe and Sarah. And
amazing.
It's just on iTunes.
And what's your Instagram?
New. Oh, sorry. Follow me on Instagram. You'll find me.
We'll tag you anyway. But who are you? If people don't have Instagram or they don't follow us, which is BS, but anyway.
I like that. my Instagram handle is Sarah with a H, Talik. Which is spelled T-I-L-L-E-K-E.
Like the pipes.
Like the pipes.
Awesome. All right. So follow Sarah. You can follow us at Pastor Bedtime Podcast on Instagram. You can also email us at PastorBedtimePodcast@gmail.com.
Even if they're pranks.
Even if they're pranks.
I actually enjoyed that conversation a lot.
And if you can, we would love if you would rate us on iTunes. So that would be lovely. And I guess that's it. All right. And if anyone sees a hidden immunity idol around 14th Street, please give it back to me. You can just DM me and we'll set that up. All right.
She'll go on a date with you.
Yeah, right.
All right. Love you guys. Wow, this person said I love you.
I know. We're in a really committed relationship.
Wow. The love is really...
Our love language is oozing into the mic.
Thank you guys for listening. Till next week. Good night.
Good night.